Welcome to What the Health? Where anything health is fair game as we tackle the trends and bust the myths about health and wellness. Here are your hosts, Dr. Dan and Angela Toro.
And welcome to another episode of What the Health? I am Dr. Dan here with my co-host,
Angela. Welcome back to another episode, guys. Real quick, just our usual disclaimer, we are here for informational purposes only, not offering any individualized medical advice. Always talk to your trusted healthcare professional. Although this one is really right up Dr. Dan's alley.
Yeah, you can probably talk to me about this one. So, all right, so I'm going to talk about Chiro Kids. We talked to Angela a little bit about this before. She's like, well, I don't know how much I'm going to have input on that. So she's going to sit here and listen wonderfully while I go on my soapbox and hopefully ask questions along the way. But anyway, I think Chiro Kids, the big question that I get, I still get this. You know, it's so funny. You talk about taking a kid to a chiropractor and, you know, you get such an extreme reaction. Some people are like, oh my gosh, yeah, I take my kids all the time, or, you know, they've had it for ear infections, or they've, you know, had, you know, chiropractic care for, they had a cold, or, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, there's so much that they took their, you know, they take their kids regularly and they choose to go, not just, you know, because they have a specific health challenge that they're trying to fight, but that they notice how much healthier their kids are under chiropractic care versus not. And so then they choose to continue getting their kids checked, just like you would, you know, choose to take their kids to the dentist. But that's exactly the question I get from the other side of the population is, why in the heck would you take your kid to a chiropractor? Are you going to, you know, pop their back or twist their neck or like, you know, and oh my goodness, how could you do that to a little kid? And, you know, so I think this episode on the Chiro Kids is more kind of, you know, trying to dispel, you know, maybe some of the misconceptions that are still floating out there. I think it's gotten way better. You know, if you, you know, took it back 3 decades ago and talked about taking a kid to a chiropractor, I think you'd be even more polarized. But it's interesting because if you look at the roots of chiropractic, again, chiropractic was founded on the nervous system and how the spine interrelates intimately with that nervous system. And so by adjusting the spine, getting it moving better and better aligned, you are truly changing the tone and helping produce a more adaptive, a healthier, more optimized nervous system. And when you do that, because the nervous system coordinates every other function in the body, including your immune system, we'll get there in a minute, you can overcome specific health challenges, but not just that, you're helping to prevent other health challenges in the future, and then, you know, really helping to live the best life possible. You know, you're helping to, we talk about the accelerated aging versus graceful aging in the office, and so, you know, much of what we do is we want to help people age gracefully, not at an accelerated pace. And that really starts with kids. You just mentioned this last episode. It's like it's much easier to raise healthy kids than recover healthy or sick adults. Yeah. So this concept of adjusting children, chiropractic really limited it, pigeonholed itself back in like the 60s, 70s, when, you know, there was this big discussion around Medicare and proving what was chiropractic good at. And so there was some very limited research, you know, to show that, okay, chiropractic was good for low back pain. And so, you know, much of our profession, again, I think very silly, you know, it grabbed the hold of that research and it shoved it in front of the Medicare bandwagon and it said, hey, look, we're good at low back pain. And so then all of a sudden, like everyone jumped on that research and then started saying, oh, look, chiropractic is good for low back pain. And so then what happened? The public perception over several decades became, oh, chiropractic is good for low back pain. And then, oh, by the way, oh, we're also good for neck pain. And, oh, also good for headaches, which if you really look at it compared to, you know, other things like, you know, Tylenol, you know, over-the-counter NSAIDs, compared to physical therapy, compared to, honestly, you know, chiropractic doesn't shine significantly better or worse over those other things. Now, again, I think what happens is all the side benefits that come along with it, because, you know, taking Tylenol isn't going to help you recover from colds faster. But, you know, someone comes in for neck pain, they start getting adjusted, and all of a sudden, now they're not getting as frequent sinus infections, and they notice they're breathing better, and, oh, their constipation that they've had for a decade is now, you know, normalized. And so, you know, you see, you have all these other side benefits that come along with going to the chiropractor that people are like, okay, I'm just functioning better. I can't came in for maybe a headache or I came in for neck pain, but now I'm functioning better. So going back to chiropractic really pigeonholed itself, 60 years ago in the, 60s and 70s. So let's take it back to the roots, though. I mean, if you look at chiropractic, it was founded in 1895. It was really founded on, the tone of the nervous system and the health of the nervous system. And as we adjust the spine and get the spine moving better, we're going to promote healthier nerve system function. So what can't the body overcome? I mean, the body has the ability. There are instances in spontaneous remission. The body can overcome any illness that is out there. It has done it, whether it's, very common or not. The body has overcome, the intelligence of the body has overcome any illness that is out there. So chiropractic seeks to help promote the optimal function of the nervous system and really the intelligence of the body. Okay, you cut your finger, cut your hand. You don't have to think about healing that cut. It's going to heal whether you put a Band-Aid on it or not. Okay. So looking at that, I was thinking back to the pandemic that we just came out of, and going truly back to like the 1918 Spanish, flu. There was a significant, some significant clinical studies around that in the 1918, because doctors and hospitals were so over inundated with, very, very sick patients. I mean, a third of the world population was wiped out from that pandemic. Chiropractors were called upon to help care for patients. And what they found is patients who started getting adjusted were able to overcome the flu. There are case studies on that going through the 1918 Spanish flu. When you get to the underlying, root of what chiropractic is trying to accomplish, we're really trying to promote healthy nervous system. And again, because the nervous system controls and coordinates everything else, then we are able to see a number of health challenges that are overcoming. That kids very young, okay, as young as, days old, okay? I've adjusted kids who have been a couple days old all the way up to, toddlers who are learning to run and crawl and walk, and then, learning how to ride bikes, kids falling off of bikes, and, trampoline injuries.
Getting into sports.
And just, it's all about how are their bodies performing. One of the cases recently, we got together with some friends just this past week, and their baby is 2 months old. In fact, I think they're 2 months old the day before we got together. And so I was just, again, as a practitioner, I just am always curious, how's the baby doing, this and that. And immediately, parents are going to tell you, they're perfect, they're wonderful, but, she's having a lot of reflux. And we were just at the doctor's today, and they wanted her to start this omeprazole or, proton pump inhibitor, right, to inhibit the acid in the stomach. And this is so common. It doesn't mean it's healthy, but it's so common among infants anymore, is that you have these babies that are having this these reflux spells, and that reflux also leading to colic, just severe indigestion and cramping, that to a point that they cannot get comfortable. So I started having a conversation with them, and I said, well, I don't think I actually even had a conversation. I said, well, you want me to check the baby? Because that's what I do. And immediately the mom's like, absolutely. I was reading about it. So I was going to ask you. And, I've been reading about taking her to a chiropractor. And again, because, parents are scared, starting a 2 month old on a very serious, acid reflux inhibitor, they get nervous about it, because she was even reading. Again, we talked about this in the episode about, parents who Google, and the internet searches. It's like, it's very easy to find, type in the name of a medication and find what is it prescribed for, the chemical makeup of it, what are all the nasty side effects from it. So it's like, it's very easy to find that information. It's at the tip of our fingertips anymore. So of course reading all long-term studies of, these proton pump inhibitors being anything related to, dementia and cancers, when you're on it for, more than 2 decades. So now you're talking about starting a small infant, 2 months old, on this medication. It's like, wait a minute, what other alternatives are out there? So, now, of course, Dad, he's, extremely sarcastic, which I think why my wife gets along so well with this guy. He's like, well, he's just going to, snap her neck and, it'll feel better. And again, he was completely open and sensitive, but he was just being real snarky about it. I said, oh, yeah, I'm just going to give her one of those old school style, full body adjustments and, we'll get her moving. But no, so again, as parents, and again, I am always so honored as a practitioner, as a chiropractor, that a parent would take their infant child and say, here, with just complete loving trust that, whatever you're going to do is hopefully going to help their child. I mean, that's a big, big sense of trust. I mean, I know that we just went through our son, middle son, Sammy, had a heart procedure. He had to repair a vessel that did not close properly, get very, very healthy outcome. But, we're at the mercy of these doctors, the anesthesiologists. It's like, okay, you're going to be giving our son, a medication that's going to put him under, and we're trusting that you are monitoring his, heart, his brain activity, his oxygen level, that he is going to, come out of that sleep that, it's kind of like an induced coma for a very, minimal period of time. But it's like, we're trusting that you're going to be able to give him the right amount, bring him out of that, and then again, the other doctors are going in with you're going in with a wire that's fishing this wire up through his plumbing vessel, up through his vessels, and closing off the heart vessel that needed to be closed off. It's like the amount of trust that takes a parent to do. I mean, it's extremely mentally, emotionally taxing, and it's just there's a huge amount of trust that comes with it. So I am always, very humbled when a parent brings in, not just their child in general, but especially that, that little baby, couple who's, a couple weeks or a couple months old. So here we are in the middle of this party and a little get together. And, so we're all meeting the baby for the first time. And so mom hands the baby over to me. And as you always joke in the office, we schedule time for the adjustment, but there's, the adjustment really only takes a few minutes, and then there's 10 minutes of scheduled baby cuddle time. and that's part of how we charge in the office, right? Mandatory Dr. Dan baby cuddle time. But I'm just holding this baby in my arm. She was sleeping, and it was just, I could do the exam in terms of how I'm analyzing, and I'm feeling for areas of tightness, tension, and we started talking about the physiology. How is this child? And it's so easy to see, because babies are a bag of reflexes, right? They've got all these like primitive reflexes, so it's so easy to tell. Their emotions are happy 1 second, and then roaring roaring letting you know that you better do something quick, or they're gonna lose it the next second. So just holding this baby and doing my analysis, she's on her back in my arms, and again I could feel some very light tension, distortion going on in the middle lower back area. There's a lot of neurological connection to the stomach and maybe reasons that they're cramping. So I started talking to them about the fight or flight or the rest and digest nervous system. Okay. The autonomic nervous system we talk about kind of has two phases, your fight or flight. That's where, your fist goes up, you get into the fetal position, right? You're trying to hide. Okay. Your fists come up, your arms come in, your legs come up. You're really this fetal position of your flex. That's your fight position, right? So you're fighting or fleeing. Okay. So everything is contracted. All your flexor muscles are on the front of your body, your biceps, your abdomen, your chest muscles, everything coming inward. So when you see a baby who, their legs are up and, their arms come in and their face is like really scrunched together and, they're just kind of squirming around. They just look uncomfortable. They are in that fight or flight state. And the challenge then becomes is when they're eating, if they're in that fight or flight state, then, they eat something. Well, what happens? Digestion shuts down. It doesn't shut off completely, but it really shuts down. because blood is shunted. You don't need to digest your food if you're trying to fight, fight off a tiger that jumps out, from the bush, or you're having to, fight an enemy, or you're, if you're in this fight or flight state, neurologically, it's designed for survival. So you don't have to worry about your next meal if you don't survive the immediate
threat.
Yeah, the immediate threat. And so these spinal subluxations, these spinal distortions, these tensions on the spine and thus the nervous system, they can show up from birth. The birth process is, very difficult. I did come to find out that baby was born breech. So and then it did have to end up being a cesarean section. So, she was pulled out by head and neck. And so there's a lot of pressure that goes on. In that system, not to mention the birth canal process, there are literally neurological switches that are kind of flipped on as the baby goes down the vaginal canal to be born. So when you do a cesarean section, you're bypassing those switches being kind of flipped, and there's something to be said for that the head to be squeezed and shoulders to be squeezed and all the way from head to toe. That there are neurological changes that happen as you're ready to be born, going from this nice, comfortable, moist environment out into this cold world. So that was bypassed. So, so there was definitely tension, already in this, 2 months of life in this little baby girl. So again, I was holding her, just doing some very, very gentle pressure that I found in that, mid-back, upper lower back area. And then as I'm doing that, I also was checking right around her head. Usually with babies, the first thing I ask mom is, are they if they are breastfeeding, are they favoring one side versus another? Because if they're favoring one side, typically that means that they're having it's uncomfortable for them to turn their head to, the opposite side, the side that they're not feeding on. So that's an indication that they could be locked up in the upper cervical spine. Again, that is very closely, that distortion, that subluxation is the term that we use. That subluxation is very closely related to, the neurological tension of the body and the fight or flight versus the rest and digest system. So I absolutely found that she was locked up on her left-hand side. She was favoring turning her head to the right. She was not turning her head back to the left. She was very uncomfortable there. So again, when we're talking about an adjustment on a kid, it's a sustained pressure. It's not a quick thrust. It's a sustained.
You can't even tell.
You can't even tell that I'm adjusting him. Half the time, it just looks like I'm holding the baby, and it's a sustained pressure. In a direction, and I'm just just gently kind of holding the baby and allowing them to really just relax through. That point of tension, and it was so interesting to see, like, as she was laying in my arm, she started kind of in her arms up and legs up, and then as I was doing that adjustment, which I see all the time, she was sleeping most of the time, but as I was doing that adjustment, you could see her arms just kind of let go and flail backward, out to the side, and her her knees and hips that were tightened and curled up just totally let go. And then I could just grab her, take her leg and just kind of gently flop it up and down, very little tension. And that's one of the signs that I tell parents. If you see their arms, cocked in and, their legs come up, especially around the time that they're eating, that's a sign that they're in that fight or flight state. And then that can ruin digestion. And then that can lead to reflux because it's not getting down pat into the stomach. And there's this problem with the valve going into the stomach. And so then you, and then again, you go into the medical profession, it's no fault of their own. I mean, they see, they're having reflux. So what's the medical solution for reflux? It's here's medication because we're going to dampen the effect of the acid, which again, too much acid on the esophagus for a long period of time can be very damaging.
Yeah.
So, their solution as well, if we take care of the acid, if we reduce the impact of the acid, then that'll keep it from being acidic on the esophagus. The problem is you need the acid to be able to digest your food. Again, there's this vicious cycle when you medicate, when you artificially intervene with the body's normal, healthy process, you can have all of these side effects, and being on a proton pump inhibitor for a long period of time is one of them. So it was very cool. And again, parents can see this, visibly see this, and just watch this with their baby, in my arms, just, completely relaxed. And that, so one of their struggles was overnight time. She would sleep really well throughout the day. She'd sleep well at night until she got up for a nighttime feeding. She would feed, and then she would not go back down after that, because she would just be very, very irritated and just could not settle down. And then she would actually spit up, in that evening, and just would not get back to sleep. So I messaged them the next morning. I said, okay, we did this, did the adjustment, so... Just always like to check in, especially with, again, someone like a baby, like, how did they do? And immediately, mom and dad start, texting me messages, and, mom was like, she slept the best she ever has, and just, always, words of praise. And again, that is just so beautiful to hear, because, you have parents who are tired themselves, and, you've had all of this, stress from a newborn in terms of, making sure that they're getting all their needs met. And, sometimes they can be difficult sleepers, and, that sometimes that's just normal. But in their case, it was, in excess. And so being able to take care of that and just seeing how relaxed that baby has become, I think that every, baby deserves, I think, a chiropractor who cares for babies should probably be on every birth team across the United States and the world. But it's just really, really cool to see, amazing to see, the intelligence of the body just, be at work so quickly and effectively. And we see those same responses in adults too. Just, I don't think we see them as extreme. It usually takes, it's slower, more progressive over time with multiple visits. Whereas, you see a kid like that, especially an infant, and just like, immediately with such a gentle adjustment can completely change their demeanor. So, and that's just one example of many of, a baby with reflux. But, as we were working on a kid last night who was actively, fighting some viral infection and in a ton of pain, and, able to get him to a point of, doing some very gentle, specific adjusting and getting to a point where he could go home and relax and have a good night's sleep. And I know I'm following up with that individual today. And so, there's so many kids that we see for so many different things, but, many of them we're seeing because, again, we're trying to raise the healthy family. So if you've ever, if you really have thought about bringing your kid in, to get checked, to get, and again, we always use the term checked because we're not necessarily adjusting every kid. Every kid is a little bit different in terms of how we adjust them. But, really it comes down to getting checked. It's so funny that the dental profession has it figured out. Look, kid starts growing teeth, bring them in, let me check their teeth, let me get their teeth cleaned.
Every 6 months? Yeah,
every 6 months, and let's keep them healthy. Yeah. And,
And if something comes up, then you're catching it early as opposed to...
Yeah, as opposed to the tooth ready to fall out and, abscessed and infected. It's like, oh, here's a little cavity, let's go in there, clean it out, and fill it up so that it doesn't become a major issue. And so, the same idea with your chiropractic in kids. It's like, you're born with one spine. Okay, you're born, and there's no spinal, replacements that I'm aware of as of yet. you're born with one brain. There's no brain replacements as of yet. I'm sure they're working on it.
Yes,
I know some people who could use one. But yeah, it's like you have this one spine. You're born with it. Why wouldn't you want to get it checked? And again, finding the right chiropractor. Not every chiropractor works with kids. I get that. But find a family chiropractor or find a pediatric. There are literally chiropractors that their whole focus, there's a whole certification program that their whole focus is pediatrics, and they only see adults, or they only see people who are 12 years and younger. So, seeing that you know, finding that chiropractor who is going to work with your child, and it does have, you know, some ongoing, you know, certification or a skill set of being able to work with kids, because it's the other kids have personalities. You got to know how to work with them and make them feel comfortable. I mean, we always make adults feel comfortable, but, you know, kids sometimes you have to really go out of their way to make them feel comfortable, you know, in that new setting. So especially the toddlers, right? You know, babies are easy, but it's like get that, you know, you get that, you know, 18-month, 2-year-old, 3-year-old who's like, you know, really shy, stranger danger, like, you know, what are you doing to me? And, you know, it's, yeah, so it, but it's so much fun. And so, you know, again, it just comes down to raising, you know, ounce of prevention, pound of cure, raising healthy kids, easier to, you know, easier to raise healthy kids than recover sick adults. You know, and then what's the one quote that we always use? As the twig is bent, so grows the tree. So if you have, you know, these spinal subluxations, you know, from a very young age, and whether it's from the birth process, you know, falling when you're learning how to walk, I mean, we fall on our butt thousands of times. And again, the body self-adjusts, you know, I don't discredit that. The body self-adjusts all the time. So many times we fall on our butt and we get right back up and we're fine. But it's the time when we fall and it doesn't necessarily correct, and now you have this subluxation, this tension, this distortion on the spine, and now your spine continues to mature with that distortion into it. So rather than getting corrected, now you have a spine that matures with the subluxation in here. That's when things really start to become chronic, and your body accepts that subluxation as normal, and now it becomes much more difficult to correct, and that can impact you for the long run. I have a lot of people with, you know, these curvatures in the spine, that these curvatures, that is their normal. They're never going to correct completely. And so they always wonder, well, am I always going to be, you know, off? Am I always going to, you know, it's like, well, your body, all of us go through stress, okay? And we live our life through our nervous system. And so everything that we experience, especially the stresses in our, you know, throughout our days, is experienced through our nervous system. So if you have some, you know, distortion or tension on that nervous system or in the spine, you know, when you do experience stress, it's going to want to go to that area. You know, just like I mentioned, the, you know, the carved out, you know, driveway or gravel driveway. It's like when it does rain and you have the stress of the rain, it's going to follow that path because it's already carved out. So if you have this spinal distortion, you know, and then you're walking around and you step off a curb funny, or you do slip, and, you know, or you're running because you're trying to stay healthy, and you know, and or you step off a rock funny, or, you know, or you're sitting at a desk and you have this distortion in there, like, your body's going to, you know, accept that stress, or, you know, or take on that stress in that direction, because it's been there for, you know, for decades. You know, your body hits 2 decades old before the spine fully matures. Spine matures between 20 and 24 years of age. So I'm always a fan of getting that spine checked regularly, before you hit that 20 to 24 year age mark. And again, if you do, it's much easier to correct. If you don't, it's okay. It doesn't mean we can't work with you. Just, you know, sometimes takes a little bit more effort to, you know, to get things calmed down, settled down. So anything else from your observations in terms of what you see with kids, families?
No, I mean, definitely have, if, like you said, it's funny. We've had families come in where they started coming for themselves and then start bringing the kids. We've had it the other way where people bring
the kids
one kid and then all of us, like the kid that's symptomatic, and then they're like, maybe I should get everybody checked. And then we, you know, end up with the whole family there. And so I think it is, it's just a good reminder that it's, you know, and again, the type of chiropractic that we do, which is wellness based. So you don't have to wait for your kids to be sick. You don't have to wait for yourself to be sick or in pain, or because that's a lot of times people think, like, why would I go to a chiropractor? I don't have neck and back pain. Like, why would I go to a chiropractor? Well, because you have a spine.
I think you
said it, you know, really well, where it's about getting checked. And there's plenty of times that we do, like the thermal scan that we do on everyone. There's plenty of times we run a thermal scan on a kid and you're like, nope, you look good. I'm not going to adjust you. So it's, you know, it's not, you know, we're not adjusting just to adjust. It's, you know, it's check, see what they need, and and being able, and that's why with what we have, it's, you know, it's so nice and it's so unique. And, I've seen you adjust all kinds of kids in all kinds of different ways. It's all very, unique in person. Yeah, customized. And yeah, and it's just people have had some really, really good results. And yeah, I think it's just something that, you know, we just wanted to make sure people were aware that it is an option, because then we also have the patients that come in regularly and then, you know, they're talking about their kids being sick all the time. I was just thinking of somebody recently, like, she actually hasn't been in the office recently because her one kid has been sick and out of daycare for so long. And it's like, well, hey, why don't you bring him in? And she's like, I literally didn't think about that. But yes, you're right. That is probably what I need to do. So just kind of that reminder that, you know, yes, anyone and everyone is welcome to come in and get checked and see if we can help you.
That's, yes. If you have a spine, yes, you are a candidate for chiropractic care. And again, that's why it's so nice to be able to have different methods and types of adjusting. Mm-hmm. You know, many of us think of like, oh, traditional chiropractic, twisting, popping, cracking. Yeah. And that's just so few and far between, mm-hmm. especially for what we do for adults, it's few and far between. But especially for kids, we really don't do, you know, there's just so many sustained pressure adjusting, you know, ways that you can, you know, help a kid, you know, really get a good adjustment without that, you know, that traditional or, you know, the public knowledge of like, oh yeah, I gotta get my back cracked.
Yeah,
like,
nope, it's
that's
very,
just
it's
not
very gentle, very, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, we have a whole section on our website, listed by condition. So, you know, if your kids are having anything, you know, any kind of chronic stuff, or even if you're just not sure if, you know, what they're dealing with is just kind of quote unquote normal kid stuff, or because that's the other thing too. Again, sometimes things just get written off as, oh, well, yeah, I mean,
yeah, they've got the sniffles, they're in daycare. Yeah,
yeah.
That makes sense.
So, but go take a look at that list, see if anything jumps out at you, or, you know, somebody, you know, oh yeah, that, you know, so-and-so is always canceling because their kid has an ear infection or has, you know, this or that, and just, you know, see if anything resonates with you. And as always, you can reach out to us with any questions, specific questions, because like you said, it can, you know, when you're talking about, you know, putting your kids, you know, trusting your kids with somebody, it's can be, you know, can be a little scary. But
We know a lot of people who listen to this. I mean, you're already fans of chiropractic and wellness and what we do in the office. But, you know, if you know of someone who is like on the fence, or they've heard that chiropractic might be an option for kids and their kids are suffering with something, maybe this would be a really nice way to, you know, introduce them to kids in chiropractic, and, you know, send them this podcast. It's something they could easily listen to, you know, and maybe that'll help their decision with, you know, what to do moving forward. But again, it can't hurt to check and see if chiropractic is an option. And if it is, you know, I think most people, I think the majority, 99% of people would say, wow, this was, you know, I should have done this a long time ago.
We do hear that a lot.
Yes, yeah. But, well, with that being said, that's our Chiro Kids episode. I am Dr. Dan. Thank you so much for stopping by. Again, our website, T-U-R-O, Toro, familychiropractic.com. And here with my co-host,
Angela. Thank you, guys.
See you at the next episode.
You've been listening to What the Health with Dr. Dan and Angela Toro, brought to you by Toro Family Chiropractic. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.whatthehealth.world.